Every person should be able to have access to someone two layers above.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Brett Halliday. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Brett. In 2007, he moved from Australia to Canada to lead the expansion for Michael Hill Jeweler. And over 14 years, he built the brand to be a leader in the industry and took them from 12 to 86 retail locations. Two, in 2016, the Retail Council of Canada recognized Brett and his team with the coveted Talent Development Award for Retail Excellence. And three, Brett draws on his deep sporting history when it comes to business and teams. The success of the business revolves around the attraction, retention, and development of people. Brett Halliday, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Hi, George. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's great to be part of Your Intended Message. I'm really looking forward to speaking with you today.
Brett, and when it comes to communication, communication itself isn't the goal. Communication is a tool to reach the goal. And in your case, let's explore the goal of building and keeping and maintaining and nurturing a powerful, talented workforce. Where do we start with that?
Yeah, I suppose when I draw on my retail experience in building teams globally, really retail and most businesses revolve around people. You know, your people are your most powerful asset, and without great teams, you know, you don't have a business. I also noticed, George, that you actually said attraction. I'd like to change that word to recruitment, because having great teams, and the essence of a great team really comes down to what I believe is the three R's, and that's recruitment, retention, and remuneration. You know, and when you get those three parts of the business right, then really that is the core of success. And whilst they may be three separate words, a lot of the rules or the strategies or the processes inside of those three areas all roll into one, and they need to work quite cohesively.
Brett, let's just clarify, what do you see as the difference between attraction and recruitment?
Well, recruitment is sales. Let's not kid ourselves. When you're recruiting people into your business, it's really sales. You're selling. You know, why should someone, you know, so there's the attraction. So recruitment isn't running an ad, sifting through resumes, filling a position and moving on and having someone just sit there, you know, and trolling through and doing a job. Recruitment is about advertisement. You know, you're part of your message and part of your advertising message when you're selling your products should be actually attracting people that want to come and work with the brand, not just buy from the brand, but be engaged with the brand. And, you know, that's very so important in retail. You know, like a lot of, as we grew globally, you know, we expanded in Australia, we expanded in Canada. Most of our staff that filled our retail stores actually were customers first. So we attracted them through the brand, they engaged with the brand, they purchased products, they fell in love with the brand. And ultimately, through the interactions in the store environment with the teams, they thought, wow, this is a great place to work. And then ultimately, they became valuable employees. We also, you know, so that's that attraction, but it is recruitment, you know, recruitment, it is sales. You know, you've got to have someone, and all the team has to be involved. Every person in the organization should be a recruiter for your organization. Like, and hence then a very strong referral program was the essence for us, was very important for us. We had a strong referral program. So internal people that referred employees or bought employees into the business, we had a referral program. And whilst, yes, they could earn money and they got paid for bringing great talent into the organization, they did it because they wanted to make the team stronger. They wanted to add better people to our team. So, yeah, that was really a very, very important part or an aspect for us.
Now, Brett, I find it fascinating that you managed to recruit a lot of your employees from customers. I wonder how many organizations actually look to their customers as potential future stars.
Yeah. Well, and again, I don't have, and obviously we're talking over 30 years here, so I don't have actual data or specific numbers that I can give you, but I can recall, and I would guarantee that, you know, the people that were bought into our business or poached into our business or referred into our business by employees, or they stayed with us longer. So the retention of those people were greater. They stayed with us longer. And we had a lot of people that worked with us for up to and in excess of 20 years, and they were the most successful. So there's a correlation between, you know, attracting people and bringing people in that had engaged with you prior. They knew the brand, right? And they loved the brand. They loved what we stood for. And then once they come and work for us, they stayed longer and they were more successful. But also, too, don't discount internal. When you're looking to recruit people into your business, always look inside first. Always look inside first. And, you know, we also, a big driver of success for us were people that actually moved between departments. So people that were working in a different department that then went out and worked on the sales floor. And I'll tell you a story. We had in Australia, when I was a young store manager, we had a young receptionist working at head office. And at Christmas time, it was all hands on deck. Like, so in the evenings, once we got busy at Christmas, a lot of the head office teams would work out in their local store and help the teams out at Christmas when we were busy. And this young lady, she worked with me multiple years, and she'd come and do the night shift. Her mother then ultimately come and worked for me and stayed, and she was one of my most successful employees. So she worked in the stores, thought it was really good, went home and talked to her mum about it, and then her mum come and worked for me and was ultimately successful. So don't always look in internal, and then people will move between positions as well.
Now, what about internal, getting your, how do you get your own people to become recruiters? How do you get them to reach out to their family, their mom, their cousins, their friends?
So I think there's two big parts to that. There's culture. There's the cultural aspect. When it's a great place to work and it's fun and exciting and it's fast paced and there's growth and there's career opportunities, everyone wants to be part of that. Everyone wants to be part of an exciting culture that celebrates success and they have lots of fun and they can see the future. But there's there's also, you know, again, you know, especially in sales and retail, there's also a money aspect. I mean, you know, there's the remuneration part. And when you have, like I said before, when you have a very good remuneration program or bonus incentive structure that's transparent and all of the people in the organization can earn and be rewarded. And not just money, you know, for trips or holidays or vacation, like different incentives. And it's team-based, then people want to bring on good people into their team. They want to make their team stronger, because if I bring somebody that I know that would be good for the business, that will help the business and ultimately help me financially, I want to bring them into the business as well, because I want other people to share in, but I also want to bring better talent in to help me succeed and obviously be financially rewarded as well. So now, there's two parts.
Brett, retail is notorious for having high turnover and low pay. What did you do differently to buck both those labels?
Well, we had high pay, like we had high rewarding, and that goes to our incentive remuneration program. You know, like, you know, every person in the retail environment was able to earn significant, but it's performance based, right? And so you know, we found the right people, we gave them a good environment, training programs, you know, development, but we also had a great remuneration program that rewarded excellence and rewarded. And a lot of people would say too much, but it was all relative. I mean, it's all relative to the bottom line and the success. So we did that. And then from a turnover point of view, yes, look, retail, people say that the turnover can be high, but it goes back to recruitment. If you recruit the right people, then you don't have the turnover, right? It significantly reduces. And again, the retention. So we had a lot of people that stayed with the business for a long time. I'm not saying that we didn't have turnover, or at times our turnover was high. Sometimes that's part of the industry. But whenever I, as the leader, went back and reviewed why people had left the business, or if we had particular high turnover in a specific store or region, I usually, or more than likely, found a discrepancy in the recruitment process. Either they were hiring because they were desperate, they hired at the wrong times, they hired the wrong people, they didn't follow the process properly. There was change in management in that store, caused some turnover. So it was always usually people related.
Brett, when you built the company in Canada, what was the first message you sent out to the team? When here's this new guy coming in from overseas, coming in, he's got an accent, he probably thinks he knows everything. What was the first message or messages that you wanted to get out to your team and make sure that they understood it and believed it?
Two things. We were going to have 100 stores in Canada, so there was career advancement and opportunities for everybody. And the second thing, which was very important, and I believe the success, was I'm not here forever and someone will replace me from inside. And both of those things happened. They had seen, so we had credibility because we'd built the business in Australia. So they knew that we were going to have 100 stores. So there was going to be jobs for everybody, right? We're going to need lots of people. So come on board. So there was credibility in our message that we were going to have 100 stores. You know, we got to 86, but essentially we had a vision of 100 stores in Canada. And two, I'm not going to be here forever. And our practice was to promote from within. So somewhere in this room, somewhere in this organization, there is someone that's going to have my job. And it was who wants it. So there was that. There was a career advancement, and now ultimately I finished and two people that I recruited took my job. So we did what we said we were going to do, and we provided the opportunities, and people joined the business because the success, and they knew where we were going and that they could be part of it, and there was an opportunity for them to progress in the business. So they stayed with the business and they were successful. And ultimately the other things, the remuneration and everything came along with it as well.
Brett, the message of opportunity. You got that message out immediately when you started. And was that a message that you needed to keep sending over the years, that you needed to keep reminding people so they didn't forget?
Every day. every day. You can't stop. You know, whatever your goal or your vision or wherever you're headed, that has to be, you know, that has to go right through the business. And, you know, one of the things that I loved the most was I was constantly traveling the country and visiting the stores. You know, that's where I grew up, but was talking to everybody, like, this is where we're going. We're going to have 100 stores. And the good part then is we hired, like myself, I started as a salesperson. We hired salespeople that then went to trainee or assistant managers and store managers and regional managers. And so you can be a salesperson and then end up as the CEO, ultimately, if you want to be. So that spread through the business. And so lots of people moved from province to province. They relocated their families. They took on different positions. But also we had a lot of store managers that then moved into head office. So, you know, you don't have to stay on one path. So I think the retention was they could stay inside the organization and move through different departments, and they didn't have to leave the company. So we had store managers. And so as we built a head office in Canada, we had store managers that then moved into audit or recruitment or training. They moved into IT. One of our store managers became the IT manager. They went into HR. So you don't have to be stuck in one thing. And I think that cross-pollination was a success of retaining talent. You know, we had these people. They loved the brand. They loved the business. They had skills. So we moved them internally. And that then also helped develop other people in the organization. So that was, and they stayed with us. And this, and, you know, thankfully, they're still there today, continuing to grow the brand. And we'll probably make it stronger than I ever would, right? So that's part of the success.
Now, the retention, I can see the benefit of projecting a vision and doing it consistently and constantly. However, not everybody gets to be the CEO. So how do you encourage, how do you provide opportunity, vision, ambition to those people who, I'll never be CEO?
I think most people, they may have aspirations, you know, to have that role. And I think everybody, you know, everybody looks and goes, you know, they aspire to be something. I think the conversations and the performance metrics, as long as they're clear, I think people then will self-realize where their limit is or where potentially whilst, you know, hey, I would like to be, hey, one day I could be this. But as long as along the path, they, you know, the KPIs or the performance indicators, the hurdles, everyone understands, you know, where is my limit, right? And then ultimately, you know, and we've all made mistakes, you know, we've all done it, but hopefully identifying and working with someone honestly and not promoting them into a job that is beyond their reach and setting them up for failure. That's where the damage comes sometimes, which goes back to your recruitment process. So, yeah, that's quite a big one. And George, I suppose, you know, I'll throw it back to you. You've worked and coached and taught companies in, you know, seminars. I'm sure you've probably seen that along the way where you've spoken to someone and they're doing a job and you've probably identified it's probably maybe beyond them, but they've been put into that role because someone probably didn't have an honest conversation with them.
Very true. Yes, I've seen it. And it's always disappointed to see someone in a role that, and they don't realize, or maybe they do realize, but they're trying to not let anyone else know. But the people who put them there don't accept that, hey, you're pushing this person more than their capability and they would be good in a different role. And I've seen that. And at times I've had that conversation with their leader and said, here's what I'm seeing. And they're not going to make it in this role because they just don't have what you really need there. And it's sad to see that because you're right. It sets people up for failure and pain and disappointment. when it doesn't need to be. And so that I support your hiring, the message about hiring the right people, of having that right analysis and right discussion with the people and making the decision, as opposed to, well, we need somebody and this is all we got, we better hire somebody. No, that's the wrong way to go. Yeah. Wrong message.
I think the transparency plays a lot into that. And that's at the recruitment stage. You know, if you don't have very detailed position descriptions for the role that you're filling, and you know, you don't explain that at the start, or it's not transparent, and then the performance remuneration or metrics don't actually line up with that position description, and it's a bit wishy-washy. I mean, it's that's when the, you know, so it starts at the recruitment stage, you know, because those conversations never quite happen. People in the organization, well, why did that person get promoted, or why did that person? And there's no transparency around performance. Then those conversations will be tough to have. So, you know, in recruitment, retention, remuneration, you know, I always go back to recruitment. You know, the recruitment is the most important piece. And I believe that your recruiter, right, that is, yeah, that's an integral part of your business, and the CEO must own that. You know, and I worked very closely. We had an internal recruiter, and I worked very closely with that person to make sure that, A, they understood the business, they knew the role. Ideally, they would come from within the business. So, you know, we had a successful store managers that went in the role, but we had people that understood sales, so that they could go and talk to the right people and identify behaviors and then find them. But they actually worked with them because, you know, getting that person right at the start saves a lot of hassle down the track. And for a lot of businesses, it's expensive. So, you know, one thing that I hate to see when I speak to organizations or CEOs, or I look at their practices and processes, is they have either an automated system or they have someone that's just, they're putting out an ad, they get 1,000 responses, someone flicks through, but the person doesn't actually understand what the job entails. You know, like the recruiter should work in every department a week, every quarter. Like they go and work with the different teams, or they work in the stores, or they manage, so that they know what are the true traits and what are the expectations, what are the behaviors. You know, what does it take to be successful in that role, so that they can actually go and find and identify the right person, and so it saves you a lot of hassle. And that's how you cut down your turnover. So, you know, in retail especially, right? And I know a lot of people come and go, and it's seasonal and all of that. So there's lots of factors. However, the turnover doesn't have to be that high. You know, if you're the CEO of a retail or a sales organization and you have high turnover, it doesn't have to be, and you should never justify it being high. There's obviously practices or processes in your business that's going wrong, and maybe you're just not over it, and you're just accepting the fact that, oh, well, we have high turnover and it's okay. Well, it's not okay. It's not okay.
Brent, I wonder, in the process of recruitment, if one of the mistakes that the recruiter makes is only talking about the positive, about, you know, the mission and the goal, and perhaps not pointing out, by the way, there are some tough events or tough times, mm-hmm. or yep. tough experiences that you will experience. And maybe the recruiter needs to convey that message more clearly.
Yeah. 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 And well, that's what I was saying, you know, like the recruiter needs to know the role. Yeah. Like, what are they recruiting for? So, you know, and again, I refer back to the sales environment or our store location, but when our recruiter was speaking to possible candidates, we would show them targets and we would show them coaching logs and material and the training, and like, we'll coach you every week. We'll expect you to hit targets. You know, like, this is what we're expected. And yeah, like, we're not for everybody, right? But this is what we want. But If you are the right person and we get the right person, the chances are you'll be very, very successful. But you know, we would have people and say, oh, I didn't think that I had to do that. Well, no, that's not right. Well, it's okay for it not to be the right opportunity. And some people coming back into the workforce, especially in retail, some people coming back in the workforce may never have worked with that before or didn't understand. And they thought, oh, I'll go and work in a retail, I'll work in the mall and it'll be nice and I'll work 9 to 5. Like, well, that's not reality. And then if you don't stress that at the start and then they turn up and then they go, hey, well, I didn't know I had to do this. And all of a sudden they leave in their probation period, then you've got to start the whole process again. And that doesn't help anybody.
Brent, where do mentors fit into this process?
Oh, look, I think, you know, part of the retention strategy should be a mentor program as well in the cross-pollination. So I like to think that every person should be able to have access to someone 2 layers above. And I'll explain that. As I worked through my career, it was the cross-functional or committee programs that we had that you could be a part of. So whilst I was a store manager and I had aspirations to go higher, I knew that, okay, well, what does the country manager know or need to know that I need to learn if I ever want to be in that role? So it wasn't one layer above, it was 2 layers above. So yeah, I could be a good store manager and go to regional, but if I wanted to run a country, I then had to know about advertising and stock and you know, the warehouse or distribution or IT or different areas. So we had committees or cross-functional programs that you could actually be part of. So I was part of an advertising committee as a regional manager. So I actually got to learn about advertising, because if I knew that I wanted to run my own country, I needed to learn about that. I need to understand how it works. And just sitting in a store, I was never going to get that information. And so those mentors evolve out of that. So all of a sudden now you're speaking to the executives in those positions, and they, whilst they might not be an exact mentor program, some companies don't have them, at least I had access that I could speak to people that I probably would never have met. And then you could sort of form those relations. But apart from that, I believe, and obviously I believe that mentorship programs are very important. And whilst internally they are good, I believe that also too at a senior level, so you know, at executive level, CEO level, they need actually to come from outside of the organization. And hence why I do what I do now. Yeah, my job now is, how do I pass on everything that I've learned in 30 years and pass it on so it doesn't go to waste. You know, people were gracious and gave me their time and their education or their encouragement or their understanding, and you know, they taught me everything that they have. So how can I pass that on? And I think coming from outside the organization, because unfortunately sometimes in the organization confidentiality is an issue. So to have access to a confidential mentor, someone outside the organization that can challenge, push, and be a confidant to you is very, very important.
Brent, if someone were to want to take advantage of your 30 years of experience, wisdom, pain, success, who are the right people that you would be willing to work with at this time?
People that are looking to grow their small business, or from a startup, or from one store, or maybe a small sales team, wanting to grow and expand quite quickly. Because you know, I've been there, and even when I arrived here, you know, we had a few stores, and whilst I could try and do most of it all at small amounts. To really expand, you have to grow your team quite rapidly, right? And there's just so much to do. So small teams, retail, obviously, you know, my expertise is in the retail space. So CEOs, senior managers, or even CEOs that have a team of successes that I can sort of help facilitate and grow those people sort of through the business.
If people want to get a hold of you, they can find you online at froggo.ca. And froggo is the word frog, plus the word G-O, go on the end. So two G's in there, froggo.ca, C-A for Canada. Brett, in wrapping up, if you could sit down with a CEO of a mid-sized corporation, say, and give them some advice on how to better recruit, retain, and remunerate the people, their team, what would be those one, two, or three pieces of advice you would give them?
Yeah, look, George, there's been a lot of information and lots of stories here today, but I suppose my three takeaways and three key points to any CEO is the CEO has to own the program. They have to own the recruitment, the retention, and the remuneration programs and be over it. They have to be all over it. They don't have to do it, but they've got to, you know, be over that and you know, reporting and checking and really digging in if they see a problem. So CEO has to take the ownership on that. The recruiter has to be part of the team. Now, if you're a small business and you outsource it, it's okay, but go and meet with them and know who it is and be very particular as to who you work with and make sure that they know your business. And maybe there's a reward for them to, you know, there's some metrics in there, but, you know, the recruiter has to be an extension of you and part of the team. And a great remuneration program that covers all of the company and is very transparent. Very transparent. And people need to know, right? And don't be afraid of it. You know, like when I was a young store manager or regional, like my teams knew what I made. Like, and that's part of them, part of the retention is, hey, well, I want to do what Brett does for all. Hey, I want his job. So how do they work harder? So it needs to be quite transparent. So those three things. CEO owns recruitment and talent. Have a recruiter that's part of your team and have a very transparent remuneration program that all of the company can be a part of.
Productive advice. My guest today is Brett Halliday, reminding you that if you want to build a strong team, every person on your team should be a recruiter.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.